Today is the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is also the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, and there will be a proper last gospel from that Mass today. It is also the first Sunday of the month, and thus it is Vocation Sunday, and I ask that you please join in offering up your Mass and Holy Communion for the intention of an increase of vocations to the priesthood and religious life, and then please join us in the prayers after Mass for this intention. I think it is very fitting that this Sunday that we begin to have four Masses here on Long Island, two at the church and two here at the school, I think it's very fitting that it happens to fall on a Vocation Sunday. And I say this because it is on account of the prayers that we pray for vocations and on account of all the Holy Communions that are offered up for vocations that we're able to do this. We are truly reaping the benefits of the Vocation Sunday here at St. Pius V. And so please continue offering your Holy Communions for this intention and praying for vocations. Also, after the prayer for vocations is said this morning, there will be the blessing of throats at the communion rail. Tomorrow is the Feast of St. Blaise, and that blessing that is traditionally given on his feast day will be given this morning. This Friday, February 7th, is the first Friday of the month. Please sign up for an hour of adoration. There's a sign-up sheet here in the vestibule. But do please note that the first Friday, the all-night adoration, will be at the church in Oyster Bay. There will be a St. Valentine tea party here at St. Pius V School. It will be this Saturday, February 8th. It will begin at 12 p.m. and go until 3 p.m. And if you plan to attend, please RSVP by tomorrow. Please note also that the next Vatican II Modernism Conference will be held on Thursday, February 13th. Not this Thursday, the 6th, but next Thursday, February 13th. If you are interested in enrolling your first grade child into St. Pius V School for the 2020-2021 school year, please call the school office, and their phone number is in the bulletin, but please do call no later than February 28th. Ash Wednesday is fast approaching. Last year's palms will be burned to make ashes. So if you have any blessed palms that you'd like to turn in to be burned for the ashes, please bring them no later than Sunday, February 23rd, and place them in the boxes in the vestibules. On behalf of Father Bomberger, I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of you who were able to help out yesterday with the school, or the chapel takedown, rather. Father Bomberger is very grateful for all of your help, and be assured of our prayers and gratitude. And finally, I would just like to remind you of the requirements for Holy Communion here at St. Pius V. All are welcome to attend our Masses, but there are some requirements, and those requirements are printed in the back of the bulletin. The epistle for the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary is taken from the Old Testament book of Malachias, chapter 3. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I send my angel, and he shall prepare the way before my face. And presently the Lord whom you seek, and the angel of the testament whom you desire, shall come to his temple. Behold, he cometh, saith the Lord of hosts, and who shall be able to think of the day of his coming? And who shall stand to see him? For he is like a refining fire, and like the fuller's herb. And he shall sit refining and cleansing the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and shall refine them as gold, and as silver, and they shall offer sacrifices to the Lord in justice. And the sacrifice of Judah and of Jerusalem shall please the Lord, as in the days of old, and in the ancient years, saith the Lord Almighty. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, after the days of Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they carried Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male opening the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. and to offer a sacrifice according as it is written in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was in him. And he had received an answer from the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he also took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. When the days of Mary's purification were fulfilled, according to the law of Moses, they took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, Every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. These words are taken from the Gospel for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my dear friends, as I mentioned, we celebrated one of Our Lady's many beautiful feasts, the Feast of Her Purification. It is among Our Lady's most ancient feast days. In fact, it is said that the feast was instituted by Pope St. Gelasius towards the end of the 5th century, and some say it was likely even earlier than that. The Feast of the Purification commemorates two events in the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary: her purification and the presentation of the Divine Infant in the temple, an occasion that we recall each time we pray the fourth joyful mystery of the Rosary. Now, both of these events are centered around fulfilling two precepts of the law of Moses. The first precept was that a mother who had given birth was deemed unclean according to the law. She was thus bound to remain hidden indoors for 40 days, and after those 40 days, the mother was obliged to present herself in the temple to obtain the legal purification, which was procured through prayer and sacrifice. That was the first precept. The second precept pertained only to a firstborn son. The firstborn son, according to the Mosaic law, had to be taken to the temple and offered to God by his parents. You see, originally the firstborn sons were designated by God to be the priests of the Jewish nation, those who would serve in the tabernacle and in the temple and be the spiritual leaders of the people. This was commanded by God at the time of Moses. When God spared the Jewish firstborn during the plague of the firstborn in Egypt, the plague that you may recall killed the firstborn of all those in Egypt who did not have their doorposts marked with the blood of the Paschal Lamb. When God spared the firstborn of the Jews, he claimed them for his service. Thou shalt give the firstborn of thy sons to me, he said. God thus specially chose them to serve him. He gave them a religious vocation, but they did not remain faithful. Instead, many firstborn sons took part in worshiping the golden calf that was set up at the time of Moses when he received the Ten Commandments from Almighty God. And so God took this privilege away from them. And he decided that he would set apart the tribe of Levi for his service. And he did this because the tribe of Levi did not take part in worshiping the golden calf. The Levites thus replaced the firstborns to work in the temple, with the sons of Aaron being designated as the priests. But although the Levites were dedicated to God's service, nonetheless, according to the law that Moses received from Almighty God, nonetheless, all firstborn sons had to be redeemed, or bought back, as it were, from God. We read these words of God in the book of Exodus. The firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem. This was done by presenting the newborn in the temple, offering him to God, and then having a sacrifice offered to redeem him. And this is what Our Lady did with Saint Joseph at her side on the day of her purification. Although for her, for the Blessed Virgin Mary, the offering of Christ was not the same as other mothers. For Our Lady's presentation of Christ was not merely a legal ceremony. She truly offered her divine Son to God the Father for the redemption of mankind. She offered him to be the eternal high priest. Today, my dear friends, Almighty God does not ask for the firstborn sons of families, nor does he set aside one family for his service. Today, God calls young men from various families, men of different backgrounds, men from all walks of life to serve him. God has ordained that men be, as St. Paul wrote, the dispensers of the mysteries of God, that is, the administrators of his sacraments and the teachers of the true faith, and ultimately the ones to help the faithful reach heaven. And so God knows very well the importance as well as the necessity of religious vocations, especially vocations to the holy priesthood. He knows as well how detrimental a lack of vocations is, not only to the faithful, but to the world as a whole. In the 9th chapter of his Gospel, St. Matthew relates that our divine Savior had compassion on the multitudes. Christ felt for the multitude because, as St. Matthew tells us, they were like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, the people had no one to show them the way to heaven, no one to help them get there. Our Lord saw this. And so turning to his disciples, he lamented the fact. The harvest indeed is great, he said, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. What Christ meant was that there is a very great number of souls to save, but very few laborers to help save them. He was not exaggerating. There was a real lack of laborers at his time, and there is a real lack of laborers today. For today, there are indeed very few true priests. In fact, there may never have been a time since the days of the apostles when there were so few true priests. And thus, how many souls will be lost because they have no one to lead them? Here at St. Pius V, we are very, very blessed. We have the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we have the sacraments readily available to us. We now have 4 Masses on Sundays, 2 here and 2 at the church in Oyster Bay. We have 2, sometimes 3 or more priests here to serve the chapels and the school. And so at times it may seem that we have enough priests. But there are many good Catholic people in our country alone who do not have such access to the Mass and the sacraments. Many of the chapels we serve throughout the country still do not have Mass every Sunday. Our missions in Idaho Falls, Idaho, and Durango, Colorado, for instance, they only have Mass 1 time a month. Others have it twice, and some have it 3 times. But a number of them do not have it every Sunday. And think about how many chapels we could open, how many people we could provide with the true Mass and sacraments if only we had enough true priests. You know, it is estimated that there are about 8 billion people living in the world today. How many of them are, as our Lord put it, like sheep without a shepherd? How many? The harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few, far too few. We must therefore pray for laborers. We must pray for vocations. Since the time of Aaron, my dear friends, the first priest of the Old Testament, God has set his priests as leaders over the faithful, leaders to show the people the way to heaven and to help them get there. In the New Testament, priests help souls chiefly by offering the Mass and administering the sacraments. For it is by means of the Mass and Holy Communion that the faithful receive the grace they need to save their souls, graces that are indispensable in today's world. And it is through the sacrament of penance that the faithful are forgiven their sins and restored to the grace of God. But these sacred means necessary to save our souls, are not possible without the Holy Priesthood. And in light of the ever-increasing immorality and unbelief in our world, it is clear we need priests. We need holy priests. But sad to say, it would seem that vocations to the priesthood are not coming fast enough. For some reason, it is so difficult for young men to leave the world and dedicate themselves to the service of God. Even though God calls them, it is difficult for them to leave the world. It would seem that today's entertainment and materialism are designed to thwart young people from even entertaining the thought of a religious vocation. Because of this, how many young men there are who, like the rich young man in the gospel, walk away from God's call. And behold, writes St. Matthew, one came to him and said to him, "Good master, what good shall I do that I may have life everlasting?" "Keep the commandments," our Lord told him. "I've kept all of them from the time I was a boy," the young man said. "I'd like to do more. What else can I do?" Hearing this, the Sacred Heart of Jesus was moved. He was impressed that this young man was determined to do greater things for God. And so he said to him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go, sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." What did that young man do on hearing these words of Christ? St. Matthew tells us exactly what he did. "And when the young man had heard this word, he went away sad, for he had great possessions." This young man had a call to follow Christ, a divine call to be a collaborator with him in the work of saving souls. But he walked away from it. He walked away from it because he did not want to leave the world or the things of the world. And I fear that many young people today do the same. They walk away. Especially when you consider that both St. Alphonsus Liguori and St. John Bosco, they are both of the opinion that, in general, for every 3 children, 1 has a vocation. The harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few. How we must pray for vocations. Each month on the first Sunday here, and at many of our chapels across the country, we ask you and all the faithful to offer their Mass, their Holy Communion, and to join us in a prayer for vocations, that God may bless our seminary and our convent with vocations to the priesthood and religious life. We call it, as you know, Vocation Sunday. But what you might not know is that we do this in imitation of a number of good Catholic mothers who lived many years ago in an Italian village called Loo. The village had only about 4,000 inhabitants or so. But one day a group of mothers met to discuss what they considered was a crisis. And the crisis was this. Their village was not producing any religious vocations to the priesthood or religious life. And so after having obtained permission from their priests, they agreed to receive Holy Communion on the first Sunday of each month, and then to remain after Mass to recite prayers together for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. In the space of only a few decades, God heard their prayer, and he blessed this little village with 500 vocations. Let us therefore today on this Vocation Sunday, on this Feast of the Purification, let us therefore continue to offer our Holy Communions and to pray the prayer for vocations after Mass, but to do this with confidence, trusting that Almighty God will hear our prayers as he heard the prayers of those mothers. But let us not content ourselves with praying for vocations only once a month. Let us pray for them every day. Let us pray, let us sacrifice, and let us encourage vocations in our families and among our children. And as we do this, let us also pray for our Catholic parents, that they may be faithful in doing their part to foster vocations in their children. Remember, the seed of a vocation is planted by God, but it is cultivated by one's parents and relatives. We should therefore pray for our Catholic parents, that they may be generous like the Blessed Virgin Mary and willing to offer their children to God, that they may be supportive, that they may be encouraging of religious vocations, whether to the priesthood, the brotherhood, or the sisterhood among their children. The need for vocations, my dear friends, is a matter that concerns all of us. For it is a matter not only of the future of the church, it is a matter of your future here. Your future, the future of your children, and the future of your grandchildren. In our lifetime, we may never see how many religious vocations were effected by our prayers and sacrifices. We may never see the results in this earth. But how glorious will it be to know in eternity that we made a difference? How glorious will it be to know that a vocation was embraced or even saved by our prayers? And that because of that vocation, numerous souls were saved, which otherwise would have been lost. May the Blessed Virgin Mary obtain for our young men and women the grace to realize that they can make a difference in this world by following God's call. May she impress upon them the greatness and importance of the priesthood, the brotherhood, and the sisterhood, so that they may generously enlist themselves in the army of Christ to fight for the salvation of souls. And may we be faithful in doing our part, praying the Lord of the harvest, as Christ said, to send forth laborers into his harvest, so that we and countless others may reap the benefits for all eternity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.